At this time, then, we will transition into the time of hearing God's word today. And so we're going to have a message today from Colossians chapter 3 entitled, Work as Unto the Lord. If you are an old-timer like me, you may remember a song by Tennessee Ernie Ford that said, some people say a man is made out of mud, a poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, because I cannot go. I owe my soul to the company store. Some of you remember that song, right? Some of you are thinking, what is he talking about? Well, if you don't remember that one, perhaps you'll remember one of these songs. She Works Hard for the Money by Donna Summer. Or Working 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton. And if you're like many people, you learned one of these songs as you grew up. Whistle While You Work. Yep. And we don't do very good whistling anymore, do we? Or hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work I go. What do all these songs have in common? Talking about work, right? And tomorrow is Labor Day, and so we're going to talk about work today. And I hope that you will realize what a gift, what a blessing work is. So today we're going to be preaching from Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, just two verses for a message entitled, Work as Unto the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 23. Hear now the word of God. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Let's just pause and pray and ask the Lord to just open our hearts to receive his truth today. Father, we are thankful for the privilege of worship this morning. And Lord, we also know that when we come into your house, we come with open hearts and open minds. We want to set aside the cares and the worries of the world, and we want you to speak truth into our lives. We pray, Lord, for the message that will be shared here this morning, that we receive it with thanksgiving, that it would challenge us, that it would convict us, and help us to realize that the work that we do unto the Lord. So, Lord, anoint the words of your servant as she shares, and the hearing and understanding of all who hear, such that you and you alone are glorified through this act of preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, let us begin this morning by agreeing that having the ability to do something that brings you great joy, while at the same time being able to receive compensation for that ability, is what we would call an amazing job or an amazing career. It's what we all long for and hope for, and it's something on which I hope many of you have found, that you have found your job, your career, your calling. And, you know, somewhere we have been trained or taught that work is bad, that we should avoid work. And I think when we understand Scripture a little better, we'll realize that the Bible does talk a lot about work. And it doesn't talk about it in a very bad way, but in a very positive way. The first point we want to make today from our text is really tying back to the Old Testament. And the point is this, that God has designed us for work. He has designed humans for work. In Genesis chapter 2, 7 to 9, we read how God formed man from the dust of the earth and how he planted a garden toward the east in Eden. And there he placed the man among the many trees and that were good for food. But Genesis 2:15 is a key verse. It says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to care for it. Adam was put in the Garden of Eden to work it and to care for it. God designed humans for work. Note that this is happening before the fall. From the moment of creation, we see that God had in mind that humans would be working. Work is not a result of sin. It's a part of God's design for humanity. And the idea of work that's used in Genesis 2:15 carries this idea of care and protection. So God put Adam in control, or to care for, to take care of, to work the land, and to take care of the garden. Work is what we are created for. It's right there in the Bible. God created you to work. And that's only the start of the story, because not only did God place Adam in the Garden of Eden to care for it, to work it, but he also gave him dominion. He gave him dominion over the garden and to expand the dominion over the whole earth. So by producing godly offspring, Adam was to teach his children how to work, so that they could do their part in taking care of God's creation. And so as this continued to multiply, this idea of work would continue to multiply as well. Adam and Eve was to turn the whole earth into the Garden of Eden. And it wasn't going to happen by magic, but it was going to happen by a concerted effort. It was going to happen by work. We were designed for work, and that really shouldn't surprise us, because we are made in God's image. God created the world in 6 days, but in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, what does it say? By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. And on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. So work is an attribute of God, and we are made in God's image, so it seems natural that we should be designed for work. We should be inclined towards work. And here is something you may not know. But there will be work for us when we get to heaven. That's right. Don't picture yourself just sitting on a cloud with some wings and strumming a harp or something. There will be work for us to do when we get to heaven. And here's the thing. The work when we get to heaven will be different. It won't be like work here on earth, which tends to drain our energy, to cause us to be tired and weary. But the work when we get to heaven will be enlightening and joyful and pleasurable. And we'll want to engage in it. Many things will cease in heaven. Sinning will stop. Wars will stop. Tears will stop. But work will not cease. So get used to it, friends. If you're not working now, when you get to heaven, you're going to be working. But it's going to be a little bit different. There's a second point I want to make this morning, and that's this. That God gave humans all kinds of gifts, skills, and talents. God gave humans all kinds of gifts, skills, and talents. Not only has he designed us for work, but he gave us all work to do. And the work that you do is probably different than the work that I do. And that's okay, because God has given us different talents, different abilities to do the things that need to be done. Ecclesiastes 3, 12 and 13 says, I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. God gives us all kinds of gifts, skills, and talents for us to work. My father was a mechanic his whole life. He worked on automobiles, he worked on lawnmowers and motorcycles, and he could take an engine apart, fix it, and put it back together. Tools were his trade. That's what he used every day as he made his living as a mechanic. God gave him those skills. But to this son of his, I got none of those skills. Okay? Tools in my hand are dangerous, particularly to me. When I go to fix something at home, Ruth gets 911 on the speed dial, okay? I don't have those same skills and gifts and abilities. But what he gifts and abilities and skills he's given to me, he's enabled me to use to provide for my family, just like my father used his skills and abilities and gifts to provide for his family. Ecclesiastes 2:24 says, a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. You see, friends, it's a part of our God-given DNA to work. We're made in God's image. God worked. God rested. We were made in His image. We were given work from the very beginning. And so it's a part of who we are as humanity. And think for a moment of all the skills and talents we have around us. Think for a moment of some of the people in the Bible that we meet who had various skills and talents. Noah. Noah was a shipbuilder and a farmer. Abraham was a businessman and a shepherd. Joshua was a bricklayer, and then he became a soldier. And finally, he was a government leader of the 12 tribes of Israel. Deborah was a ruler and a judge of Israel. Peter, James, and John, they were fishermen. But then they became apostles, and they became writers. Dorcas was a seamstress. Lydia was a businesswoman who became an early church leader. Matthew was at first a tax collector, and then he became an apostle and a writer. The Bible talks about shepherds and masons and metal workers and carpenters and government employees and priests and farmers and teachers, artists, painters, treasurers. The list goes on and on. And that should not surprise us because we read in the Bible that each of us has been given certain God-given gifts and talents. And for some people, the gift of working with maybe wood is their gift. And your gift is totally different. It's how God made you. It's in the DNA of who you are. One of the joys here on this earth is being able to see your God-given talents, skills, and gifts. And when we can find that and work with that, it becomes an extension of who we are as a person. You know that in a recent survey from 2022, nearly 80% of people said that they were happy in their current job. 80%. And only 4% checked the box that said they were extremely dissatisfied with their job. And the reason they were extremely dissatisfied with their job is they felt that they were not using their gifts, their talents, and their skills to earn a living. Friends, we have been designed by God for work, and our work, our labor, is a gift from God and a gift to God. Doesn't matter what you are doing, work is unto the Lord. And that's exactly what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, 23 and 24. It's interesting, in the previous verses, just before these verses, Paul is giving instructions. He gives instructions to husbands. He gives instructions to wives. He gives instructions to children. But then in verses 23 and 24, 22 through 24, he gives instructions to slaves. Now, it's interesting that these instructions he gives to slaves are 3 to 4 times longer than the instructions he gives to husbands, wives, and children. And it's though Paul is specifically addressing slaves with verses 23 and 24. Now, we don't have slavery today. Thank God for that. And slaves were property in Bible times, and they were often mistreated, and the ugly history of slavery in our country is just a small slice of slavery through many generations. But Paul here is addressing slaves and challenging them to work as unto the Lord. Now picture yourself back in Jesus' day as a slave, and you have no rights, rights at all. You're kind of treated as property. You're working for someone else for next to nothing. And you know, you have no real identity, no real value. And Paul is saying, hey, if you're a slave, your working is unto the Lord. That had to be awful hard to hear. That had to be awful hard to embrace that truth. And that leads to our third point today, and that is work helps us to learn to live with one another and to live for one another. Work helps us to live with one another and to live for one another. And it doesn't take long in this life to understand that no one person can do everything. No one person can do everything. The same person that can pour a load of concrete and make an amazing walkway probably is not the same person that's going to fix your AC unit or bake you an apple pie. We all can't do everything, right? We have people who have good skills that can teach 3- and 4-year-olds, but probably are not the ones to be working on your roof, right? So when it comes to this idea of work, we need to realize that work has been given to us by God. We're designed for work. And then when we use the gifts that He's given us for work, it enables us to live with one another and to live for one another. You know, we need all kinds of different people in this world today. We need people who can work in landfills. We need those who can work on machinery. We need police officers and first responders. We need cooks and waiters alongside computer programmers and stockbrokers. We need all kinds of different people. I remember when I first started to work full-time for the government back many years ago now, at the age of 22. I just completed 4 years of college and was now living in the nation's capital. I was working for Uncle Sam. And my first boss there was a five-foot-tall lady by the name of Macy Hicks, who had a southern accent that told you that she was not a local. She was as southern as she could be. And I began working with people of different color and different ethnic and religious backgrounds. And from the moment I started in this government job, I was a part of an audit team. So you had to learn to work with people right away. People that probably were different than you in many ways and the values that they held. And I could do many parts of this job well, and there were other parts that I had to really lean on other people to help me along, to help me to understand what needed to be done. And I grew immensely through those 5 years. And one of the things I learned was I needed to learn how to work with other people. I needed to learn how to live with other people. Now, I'm not meaning live with other people, but be able to engage with them outside the work environment. When I traveled with the government, I would often travel 3 and 4 weeks at a time. So you were with the same people for 3, 4 weeks. So that means that you were sharing a lot of meals with them. That when it came the weekend time, you would have to travel with them or spend time with them. And so you had to learn to engage with other people beyond the work environment, to be able to live together in a sense. And so my first full-time job, my work helped me to realize, you know what, that we do need to be able to live together and to work together, and we do that when we embrace the gifts, the work that God has given to us. There is one last point we need to make this morning, and that's because Paul makes this point as well. And that is this: in our work, we glorify God. In our work, we glorify God. If we embrace our work as a gift from God and seek to fully utilize our gifts, our skills, our talents, and as we learn to live with one another and for one another, then how we work should glorify God. How we work should glorify God. Whatever you do, Paul says, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Remember, Paul is saying that to slaves. He's telling them, work as unto the Lord. The work that you do is important, he's telling them, but you work as unto the Lord. Do we think that way? Do we see our job as something we do for the Lord? I certainly try to in the calling God has given to me in the ministry, and it's probably a little bit easier for me because I'm working in the community of faith regularly. But what about you, the farmer? Or you, the teacher? Or you, the nurse? Or you, the truck driver? Do you see your job as a way to glorify God? Many of you know my mother. My mother worked for 41 years at Ferguson and Hassler. She worked in a deli all those years, and I can remember many a day she would come home after being on her feet 8, 9, 10 hours a day, just dog tired, from waiting on people and cutting people's meat and cheese and getting it just the way they wanted it. And many of you have remember her from her years of serving at Ferguson and Hassler. Mom worked hard there. She rarely took off, and she allowed her faith to shine through her job. And when she retired in 2017, she struggled. She really struggled because she was no longer seeing the people she was serving week after week. These were people that she had ministered to over many years, people she had conversations with, people she had prayed for, people she had encouraged. She glorified God in her work, and now she was finding a way, how do I do that anymore? Work is unto the Lord. It was something my family witnessed, and my mother and our mother for many years at Ferg's. And for those of you who knew her from her time there, hopefully you would agree. You know, friends, we can glorify God in our work. When we give our best effort each day, when we don't complain about others or complain about the boss or complain about the company, when we serve as if we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, we work as unto the Lord. Let me close with this. It's interesting, I think, that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit decided that Jesus, when he came to this earth, would take up an occupation. And he did. Jesus took up an occupation. He became a carpenter or stonemason, and in that day, as it is today, the construction business, whether it be on the front end or the back end, it is hard work. Laying a foundation, putting up the walls, laying brick, or putting in cabinets, doing the finishing work, it is all hard work. But Jesus, he must have liked it. Because for over 20 years, if you wanted to find Jesus, you went to his workshop. That's where you'd find him. And there he would have his tools ready to fix a door, to work on a roof, or to lay some bricks for you. And it is commonly believed that during his 3.5 years of public ministry, that there were times that Jesus would return to the workshop and use a hammer or lay some bricks or fix a broken table or two, just so he could earn a few dollars to continue the ministry and share the gospel. God was not afraid to sweat. God in the flesh was not afraid to get his hands dirty. God in the flesh was not afraid to go to bed at night with an aching back, with some sore muscles. The God we serve is like us. He knew what it meant to do a good day's work, and he knew what it meant to look at something while wiping the sweat from his brow and knowing that he had done his very best. He had done a good job. Our Savior, the one who lived and died for us, lived a real life. He understood he understood all that we must deal with, and if we let him, he will bring us the peace, the comfort, the joy, and the happiness. So what does God desire of us? That we work as unto the Lord. We work as unto the Lord. Just a few verses before today's text, we find these words in Colossians 3:17, just a few verses before. Paul says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through him." Friends, on this Labor Day weekend, let us give thanks to God for the ability to work, for the jobs that we have, the careers that we have, that God has blessed us with. And may our jobs and may our vocations, in the way we carry them out and live them out, may they bring glory to our God. May our faith shine through in their jobs and our vocations that God has given to us. May we indeed work as unto the Lord, to the praise of his glory. Amen. So be it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful today for the gift of work. In our society, we are often thought that work is bad. We should avoid work. But work is a gift from God. And we who are made in the image of God are designed for work. So Lord, help us to see our vocations and our jobs as an opportunity to shine the light of Jesus Christ. May it be a way in which we work as unto the Lord, and that our faith would simply shine through. So thank you for this powerful word this morning on this Labor Day weekend, Lord. May we, as we return to work, probably on Tuesday, Lord, may we see our work as being done unto the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.